Hey friend, I'm your host, Leenie Heiss, and this is episode 101 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. We're so glad you're here, and I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest, author and Moms in Prayer mom, Arlene Pelicane. Each week, we try to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ and to spur you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. Thank you for your response to last week's 100th episode extravaganza. And thank you for sharing and reviewing Moms in Prayer podcast. Your reviews on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes and sharing on Facebook are helping to spread not just our podcast, but also the mission and vision of Moms in Prayer. Today's show sponsor is Compassion International and their Moms and Babies program. They are awesome. You'll hear more about them in the middle of our show. We know as this year is wrapping up for you and your kids that the vast majority of us have been home with our children for 2 months now, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed. I reached out to my friend Arlene and said, "Friend, please talk to us about becoming happy moms." HAPPY is an acronym with Arlene Pelicane, and it is full of action. I needed this conversation, and I bet you did too. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to Moms in Prayer's good friend, Arlene Pelicane. Our friend Arlene, welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
It's great to be with you, Lee. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, one of our very favorite people at Moms in Prayer. I need you to update our audience. We're about to have our 100th episode. Actually, by the time this airs, we will have had our 100th episode.
So amazing.
So amazing. And you're one of our favorite guests, but give us an update on your family.
Oh, well, we're growing. We keep growing. Not growing number-wise, but just growing age-wise. So I have Ethan is my oldest, and he's a sophomore in high school. And then Noelle is a middle schooler. She's in eighth grade. She's 13. And Lucy's our baby, and she's 10, and she is in fifth grade. And all of the kids are at public school, and Moms in Prayer has just been such a lifeline all these years.
Isn't it funny how they continue to grow up, and the things that we find foundational just are not changing.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well, friend, when I think of the word intentional, your name always comes to mind.
And that's very kind of you.
And some days we're probably more or less like this. Yeah. But when I reached out to you, I said, Arlene, I think we need to talk about being a happy mom. Yeah. Because you wrote the book about being a happy mom, right?
Yep, 31 days to becoming a happy mom. See, I don't just give you one day, I give you 31. But we can do this.
And hallelujah.
Yes.
So happy doesn't sound like a very spiritual word, though, Arlene. I mean, we talk about something else in the faith, but not usually happy.
We talk about joy, and that's good. And you know what? If that's a hang up, I just want you to feel free to substitute the word joy. That is absolutely fine. And when I say a happy mom, in the Bible, you'll see happy interchangeably with joy and gladness. Like when they have festivals and they have feasts, it was a time to be happy before our God, a joyful time. And this is what we're talking about. Like a lot of times we'll think, oh, happy, that's that external, I just won $1,000, so now I'm happy. I am having a good hair day, so now I'm happy. And that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about how can you be a happy mom, a joy-filled mom? Because when you ask a child to picture happy in their mind, that's what we want you to be. So you're smiling, you're warm, you're kind, you're content, you're not grumbling. That's what we're going for. So 31 days to becoming a happy mom. Because, you know, when it all is said and done and your children are grown up, what was your mom like? We don't want them to say like, oh, she was always so stressed out.
Yeah.
Or, oh, she was always so worried, or she yelled at us all the time, or she was so stoic. You just never knew what was on her mind. You know, you'd love them to say, she loved us and she was happy and she smiled at us and she made a home for us, you know, and that's what I'm after when I talk about being a happy mom.
I love that idea. And I hope that all of our listeners will picture that, take some time and reflect on that, just like you said, because I don't think that we always in the middle of the day today try on that thought process of who do I want them to look back?
Yes.
And see me as. And that just will change the course of your day, right?
And many times, right, we're seeking, what is your will, God? What's your will? And then in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us the will of God is to rejoice always, pray continually and give thanks, right? With all circumstances. And what is that? That's a happy person, someone who is rejoicing always. So to realize, wait a minute, being happy is actually connected with being godly. Like a godly person is happy because their hope isn't on their external circumstances, right? Or what's happening in their family or their money or whatever, but their hope is in God. And if your hope is in God, then it's like, oh, okay, I can rejoice in that. So have that switch in our mind to say, wait a minute, maybe being happy is a holy trait of showing God's joy, because we know at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There are joy. It's a joyous place.
That's rich. So you're a Moms in Prayer mom, and you know that we have lots of Moms in Prayer moms listening. So they love the word of God. They believe in the power of prayer. They are nuts about their kids, right? Like, you have a warm audience here. So just go ahead and tell us, like, Arlene, where does this start for us? There's got to be some switch that we flick that begins this process. Where would you start us out?
I would start with your mind. And that is, you know, the renewing of your mind in Romans 12, that to be, Lord, transform me by the renewing of my mind. If I am feeling like I feel depressed, or I feel anxiety, or I feel down, in that moment, God, help me to renew my mind and help me to now focus on you, to think of you, to thank you. And a lot of times that's praising through for that to lift. And it's okay to visit feeling sad. That's fine. You know, Jesus was sad. Jesus wept. So it's not about, like, you don't have to be happy 24 hours a day, but this is about, Lord, lift my spirit so that I could be that influence in my home. So, you know, it looks like, I remember a time that I had written about in one of my books where my husband James was learning how to play the guitar. And of course, it wasn't so beautiful when you're learning how to play. And I was already, like, so grumpy, like, I'm making dinner and I'm behind. And so I'm like, oh, and then he's like playing the guitar and I can, like, oh, but he was trying to sing a praise song. He was singing Great is Our God. And of course, it didn't sound like Chris Tomlin or anything like that. But I found myself singing along just automatically. And I kid you not, within 30 seconds, all that, like, I'm late, I'm running late, why do I have to make this dinner? Things didn't go right today. All of those things lifted in that moment of praise. So I think if we as moms can, when we find ourselves down, we find ourselves dreary, whether it is a spoken word of praise, whether it's you listening to your favorite praise song, whether it's you drop to your knees in silence for just 25 seconds, but just have that reset button of, God, I will praise you. And something will happen in your spirit when you say, I will praise you. And it's like that moves. And now all of a sudden you're exalting God. And then all of a sudden you will feel better. So don't wait to feel good to do this. Do this first, and then those feelings will follow. And then, and another layer of it, it could be something where you just need a moment to reflect, like, what's not working in my mom life? Because maybe I'm very frustrated because my kids don't listen to me. And that is a problem. If you say, tie your shoes, and you've said that 30 times, you are not going to be a happy mom.
Right.
So some of that goes back to the intentionality that we were talking about, to seek help, try different things, and outwit that toddler, you know, those kinds of things. So a lot of times it's what we're actually engineering that we could do something about it.
That's great. Okay. So I really get the start with praise.
Yeah.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In Moms in Prayer, doesn't it?
The book.
You kind of had us in confession at some point too, right, which is like, here I am. True. This is my situation. Right. Yeah. We've done Thanksgiving now. Okay. So here it is, that we're going to start there. But why don't you just explain to me, HAPPY is an acronym with you. And I love this. I think this is powerful, but these are action steps for moms. Yeah. Yes. So start us with H, Arlene.
Yeah, the H is to be a healthy mom. And so it's hard to be a happy mom when we haven't slept, right? If you are on like 5 hours of sleep, I'm sorry, you can be super spiritual, but you are not happy. I'm not happy. I can't function that way.
Okay.
So being a healthy mom. And so that looks like those very practical things of get 8 hours of sleep, eat as nutritiously as you can, get some exercise, have emotional outlet, a friend you can talk to, meet regularly in church. So spiritually you're fed. So healthy mom. So don't, sometimes we're like, oh, we'll just put all those things aside because we're a mom and we're going to take care of our kids instead. And instead realize that you being healthy, that's going to help your kids a lot. And then if they watch you, like, don't feel bad about, like, oh, I have to exercise now. What are my poor children are going to do? They're going to watch you. And then they'll think, oh, I guess in life, you're supposed to do a jumping jack once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, it's good. It's okay. So be healthy. That's that starting place of the H in happy.
And I love that you give us a time frame to get started on this, because these are habits that we're going to have to adjust. I love the idea that what we put in also comes out, and this applies to the things that we eat, the things that we're watching, the things that we're listening to. It just takes a little bit of time to reshape, but I mean, all of us feel better after a vigorous 30-minute walk. It's endorphins, it's all of these things. So H is healthy, and that's going to take some work. But A is also, well, it's going to be action-oriented as well, right?
Yes. And you know what? As you listen to these, sometimes you will become overwhelmed, like, oh, I have to do this and this and this. So just as you're listening to this podcast, just ask the Lord, Lord, what's the one thing you want to really pop out? And I want that to be your action-oriented step. So maybe the thing to pop out is, I really need to stop staying up so late. I need to turn off the TV and I need to go to sleep so that I could be a happier mom tomorrow. Maybe that's going to be your thing. So feel free just to pluck one of these things out. But the A in happy is action oriented. And this is the idea that you do not have to talk until you are blue in the face to get your kids to listen to you. Instead of relying on words, lectures, threats, nagging, cajoling, right? Instead, think of what are consequences that will speak to the heart of your child. So for us, for a long time, it was the morning smoothie. My husband always make this morning smoothie, and it was green because it had spinach in it. And you know what? Some days it tastes good. Some days it doesn't, right? And our children, our three kids, even when they were little, they would just sit and would take forever. You know, it's like, we have been here for 45 minutes. Can you please drink that smoothie? And so instead of talking, I'm thinking, okay, action oriented, what can we do? So we did all sorts of things. Sometimes it was, okay, let's set the timer and let's have a race and who can drink your smoothie first. Other days it was, you owe me a dollar. You know, I told you 20 minutes and your smoothie is still not drunk. You owe me a dollar. Some days it was, go sit outside, not on a freezing cold day, but it was, hey, if you're going to sit with the family, you got to eat and drink when the family eats and drinks and we're done. So go sit outside. So you're trying these different consequences. So I just encourage you, be creative, just in the same way that your kids are. Look at consequences that you think will speak to the heart of your child, and also do what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm. If your kids know, oh, she says, if you guys don't be quiet, we're going to leave this store right now. You know, if you stop throwing your fit, we're going to leave the store right now. And your kids know full well, you have a full shopping cart and you are not going anywhere, right? So don't even say it, because that way you have no action to back that up. So, but I've actually heard it said, and I think this is great advice, to practice going out, practice going to the restaurant, to the theater, to maybe not a wedding, because that's probably a real wedding that you've been right. invited to, but practice doing these things, going to the store, et cetera, solely for the reason of training your children. And when they act up, you're like, oh, okay, everyone back in the car, let's go. Oh, guess we can't get the ice cream. You guys were not very well behaved. And believe me, if you're consistent in training that, and even though that's inconvenient at the beginning, but look, who's in control now? Not the kids. You're in control. You're an action-oriented mom. And believe me, you might have a few inconveniences, but then all of a sudden, the fourth time you go to the store, all of a sudden, this is not a problem anymore. They don't ask me for a million things. They're not crying in the candy aisle. They're not begging me to buy them this movie. Like, this is awesome. So I just want to encourage you as moms, be action-oriented, do the hard stuff first, and be willing to do the hard stuff, and then it'll get easier later. And that's your payday.
It's so important to follow through on this. I love the verse that says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time.
Right.
But later, later, it produces a harvest of righteousness, right? It's like, it's what is going to produce peace and righteousness in our child, in our homes. Yep. But you have to fight for it right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey friends, we're going to press pause right here because we want to take a minute to tell you about today's show sponsor.
Moms in Prayer is excited to tell you about Compassion International's Mom and Baby Sponsorship Program. Life begins in the womb, but the course of a child's future is shaped by the environment outside. Poverty can have a devastating impact on both a child's chances of survival and their long-term growth. In the developing world, too many women and children are needlessly dying or denied a healthy start in life from preventable diseases, hunger, and other poverty-related issues. Compassion's Mom and Baby Sponsorship Program takes a personal approach to protecting women and ensuring that their babies reach their potential. By working through the local church, trained community implementers come alongside mothers to help them access life-saving medical support, hygiene, food, and education that they need to thrive. We are motivated to care for the women and children in these communities by our love for Christ. By praying, worshiping, and studying the Bible together, the local church can demonstrate to those within the program just how precious they are in the eyes of God. Join us in providing life-giving support for these families by sponsoring a mom and baby unit today. Visit compassion.com/momsinprayer to find a mom and baby waiting to be matched with you. Sponsor a mom and baby online, and you will forever be part of changing their story.
Okay, so healthy, action-oriented, and then what's the next letter?
Well, this, of course, is right in the middle because it's so important, and it is our moms in prayer. It is prayer. So that is that glue in the middle of you crying out to God. So I'm just so grateful for Moms in Prayer. I'm a huge fan because when my son Ethan, you know, I should have started in kindergarten, what can I say? But I started in first grade. So when he was in first grade, that's when I heard about the Moms in Prayer group at my church. And I was like, I got to go to this thing. So I went to this Moms in Prayer group, and it's, you know, it's four or five ladies. We met in the church library, and it was the sweetest thing because it was like one lady was praying for her college child. One was praying for her grandchildren. One was praying for high schoolers. And I had the littles, you know, I had preschoolers and I had a first grader. And so it was just such a beautiful time. And so I'm so grateful for that because what Moms in Prayer does is it makes, you know, you want to pray, but you get busy and you don't pray, but you know, it's a priority and you put in the calendar, the things that are important to you. So then now all of a sudden now it's in my calendar and then, oh, look at that. I do it. So that's been so helpful. And so when I first started, one of my first prayers was, please, will you pray that Ethan will find a Christian friend? Because he was going to a public school. And I kid you not, Lee, just the day after he came home and he was like, Mom, guess what? I was like, what? He's like, I was at recess and I heard this little boy singing. And then I was like, it was like a church kind of singing. And I was like, are you a Christian? He said, yes. And Mom, he's in my class. And I said, I just prayed with a group of ladies just yesterday that you would meet someone. And so there is such great confidence in that. And so that's Ethan in first grade. And now Ethan is in 10th grade. And to be able to know that all those years my child has been prayed for by other mothers in addition to me is just so amazing. And it makes me so happy because it lets me walk in confidence. And so, you know, here we are, we have gone through this coronavirus time and my daughter, she's an eighth grader. So she didn't get to finish out the year, right? With to say goodbye to her friends from middle school. And now she's going to a high school, but she's going to a new high school, like one that the majority of her friends are not attending. So, you know, so that's harder. You're going to a newer school. And especially after coronavirus and being at home, it's like, you want to see your friends. And so what do? We take this to the Moms in Prayer group and we say, let's just start praying that when Noelle lands into high school, there's going to be one friend that she sees from, you know, from, yeah, who knows, elementary school or junior high that's like, oh, I love that person. Or there's going to be some new person in her class that is praying the exact same thing. And just to know that we're praying forward, like ahead of our children, and we're praying right where they're at, and then we're praying behind them, that gives such peace and such joy. So I think prayer is such an important part. Now, having said all that, and people that, oh, she's an author, she's so good at prayer. Well, I'm good at Moms in Prayer. I attend my meetings, but prayer in general, that is a struggle. It's like to have that consistent time, you know, so I'm really good at those popcorn prayers, which are like, here I am, Lord, help me with this. Lord, we're about to do this. Could you come and anoint this? Lord, could you? And that's fine. So as a mom, take advantage of those quick, like, Lord, I need help here. Or Lord, I'm just about to talk to my child. I'm super angry at them. Give me the words to say. Put those popcorn prayers into your life because they will then invite God's presence into that situation. And God can come just in a flood in an instant and answer that, even that short prayer.
I love this so much, Arlene, because a part of prayer is knowing who God is and reminding ourselves of that, which is, I mean, ultimately prayer infuses me with the reminder that God is working in the middle of this situation, or he sees what we're going through And he's pleased that we're seeking him. That is a powerful thing to infuse us with joy. This reminder that our Heavenly Father is paying attention to us and he's pleased with our endeavors to seek him in the middle. I love that you stick that right into the middle. Okay, so continue our acronym for us.
So that first P was prayerful and the next P is perseverant. Be a perseverant mom. Mm. So I just encourage you. I saw that example in that Moms in Prayer group of grandmas praying for their grandchildren and of mothers praying for their college kids. So that's all part of it, that the prayers and the being a mom, it's not just for, you know, K through six, you know, it goes all the way through. So be that perseverant mom that will say, hey, I'm going to pray for my kids when they're adults. I'm going to pray for them. Someday I'm going to pray for my grandchildren. So just think of yourself. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And so feel free. Take the breaks when you need to. You don't have to be 100% all the time because you got to run for a long time. And by perseverant, what I'd like you to picture is just that you have thick skin, but you have a soft heart. So you're tender towards your kids, but you have a thick skin. I write about technology and about using technology to bring a family together instead of separating them. So what that might mean is a mom saying to their child, okay, well, we're not going to play that video game because it is too violent. It is too whatever, right? And in that moment, your child isn't going to be like, oh, you're such a virtuous mother. Like,
Thanks, mom.
Thanks for protecting me from all the damage that I would do to my own heart. You know, like no one's going to say that. So they're going to say like, you're crazy, mom, or this isn't even a bad game. And we're the only family in the world that does this. And it's going to just come at you. And in that moment, you need to be perseverant and think of like thick skin. Like, you can talk to me, that's fine, but I am not going to change my mind. And of course, still a soft heart towards that child. But that's that idea of you're going to persevere. You're not going to give up. Your child might ask you 5 times, can I please get on social media? Can I please get on social media? Can I please get it? And maybe you've made the decision that she's too young. And no matter how many times she's going to ask, the answer will still be the same. No. You know, I love Tim Hawkins, the comedian, does this little routine of all different ways for parents to say no. It's so funny. No, no. And he just does all these like little comedic things. So have fun with it, mom. Say no. It is okay. And persevere. I remember once Lucy, my youngest, she was small and she would comb my hair while I wrote my books. And that worked out really nice. Like, I would take an hour, let's say in the day, and I'd be writing and she'd comb my hair. And that was such a lovely ritual we had until one day I heard this snip.
I was like, oh no.
What? And I looked back and she had scissors in her hand. I was like, Lucy, you just cut my hair. And she looked as aghast as I looked. Like, she was kind of curious, like, what will this do? And thankfully I have a lot of hair, so it was no damage done. But I was like, Lucy, you can never do that again. And sometimes as moms, you feel like you are attacked, you know, by your children. Snip.
Yep.
Snip. Snip, snip. They're just, and sometimes it's an innocent snip and sometimes it is an on purpose snip. And you just, as a mom, have to be like, it's okay. I'm the adult here. They're the teenager, right? They're the young adult. They're the child. I'm the one who's supposed to act mature. I'm the one who's supposed to be able to forgive. I'm the one who's supposed to be able to hold my temper. So have that perseverant mindset of whatever they throw my way, I will persist. Because a lot of times our toddlers, our kids, they outlast us. And so just get in that mindset. Nope. No, you know, they might win the battle, but I will win the war. And just have that mindset of perseverance.
Well, you are in the same stage that I am, which is we have teenagers. And it seems like not only are they trying out challenging our authority, they're trying out their verbal skills as well. And so sometimes our kids are going to say stuff looking for lines, just like when they were toddlers. They were feeling out their boundaries with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths. And now we're looking at that with teenagers in their verbal stuff. So, Arlene, do you have any ways that you are responding in the moment when they say something that's hurtful? I mean, like, we are not made out of steel, you know, like some of these things are hurtful. So what do you do in the moment when they say something that's hurtful?
Yeah, I would say, okay, hold on. You can disagree with me, but you cannot disrespect me. So that's a big thing that my husband always talks about, that you can disagree with us all day long. You can say, you know, I see where you're coming from, but I really see it this way. And we're going to be like, okay, that's okay. You know, you can disagree with us, but you have to do it in a respectful way. So once that crosses and it kind of feels like, oh, you're teasing, but that felt a little disrespectful, you know, then, that felt a little disrespectful. And I think that is an okay thing to say, that you may disagree with me. You can even yell at me right now, but you can't curse at me and you can't call me names. And you need to be respectful. And so sometimes it does mean you kind of numb yourself. Like maybe they're super angry and you just numb yourself. Okay, I've heard you. Now let's each, you know, go to our own rooms, like kind of go to our own spaces and let's come back again in an hour.
That's a great.
And that's fine. You know, it doesn't have to all happen right then and there. But I think it is a good thing to teach that when you're in the heat of the moment, you still want to be respectful. So that way someday when our kids, our wives and husbands, moms and dads, employees, all those things, that they can also show their opinion, but in a respectful way.
Well, I think that's so great. And I've seen you, or I've read that you say you're not raising children, you're raising adults.
Yep.
So this is long range game in mind again.
Yeah.
So good. I think it's interesting that you've got perseverance as a part of happiness. Because when I think about perseverance, it's like not something joyful.
Right.
And yet-
You're right.
Here it is. It's right in the middle. It's a part of the formula that's going to produce this long-term happiness or joy that you're talking about.
It's almost like you've counted the cost already and you're okay with it and you're going to move forward. So that way you're not like, oh, I'm so happy as a mom. This is great. Whoa, this is really hard. I am so not happy right now, you know, but it's like, I've counted the cost. I get what this is. I've signed up for this and I'm going to choose to be happy.
I love that. Well, the last letter in the acronym feels like candy, actually. After all this work, it feels like
you need a little something for your sweet tooth.
This is the sweet tooth here at the end. So give us that last why at the end of happy.
Yeah, the why is being yes filled. Mm. And this just comes from the idea sometimes as a mom, you feel like you have to say no to yourself. Like, no, I can't have that hobby anymore. No, I can't have my manicure. No, I can't just watch TV for 3 hours at night. Like you just have these no's. But once in a while, you do need to say yes to things that are life-giving to you, that bring a smile to your face, that when you see it on the calendar, you're like, oh, that's so great. You know, I remember when I was, when my kids were much younger and I was at the playground and I started chatting with a woman who had kids, you know, on the playground too. And I had just a question that my husband loves to ask people is, what are your hobbies? So I asked her this question, what are your hobbies? And she was like, oh, I love to play volleyball. I used to play on my team and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, well, when did you play last? And she's like, oh, not since I've had children. And you know, her kids were like, you know, 4 and 6. It wasn't like they were babies or anything. And I said, you should play volleyball, you know, again. And she's like, oh yeah, there's this league, but it would be a few Fridays. I was like, you should do that. So it's that idea of those things that really bring you joy, that it is okay to say yes to those things. And it's okay for your kids to wait for you. You know, that's so foreign today because we as moms, we are at ballet practice, at karate practice, at soccer practice. We're the drivers. Like we do all this waiting for our kids. And we think that's, and I'm not saying that's bad, that's fine. But then they never wait for us. You know, there's never a time where they're required to wait for you. And so it's okay if you say, you know, mommy's got volleyball practice for 4 Fridays and you guys are going to sit in the bleachers and you're going to bring a book and you're going to wait for me. Like, that's not awful. You know, my husband, James, is the youngest of 4 and his mom was going through grad school when he was a child. And he says, I remember like sitting in the hall with a book while my mom was in class. And it's like, that used to be kind of normal. Like the adults had things to do and the kids had to fold in and had to figure it out. So it is okay, mom, for you to go like, I'm going to take this online course. I'm going to learn how to be a photographer. I'm going to learn how to bake this perfect cupcake. Like you can do that. So am I saying you should be doing this every single day? No. You know, your kids can't be like, oh yeah, mom's doing her like whatever. She's knitting again for the 6 hour this, you know, no. But once in a while, of course, you can schedule that in and don't feel 1 ounce of guilt about it, to do something that you enjoy that is a yes for you.
I love that too, because in the long range end game mindset that we've been talking about, our kids are going to need to learn to prioritize someone besides themselves.
That's right.
I mean, At some point, my son's going to become a husband and right. he's going to need to say yes to his wife too, yes. right? Like
he is going to have to wait in the shopping mall with the other husbands. He's going to need to do that.
On the little bench in the center yeah, of the mall, right? Totally. Oh, that's so good. So we're in the middle of a really weird season. Coming through COVID, hopefully by the time this airs, out of COVID at some level. And I wonder what you're doing to have fun and bring joy to your home right now.
There is routine. I love that because we all thrive on knowing what's next. And that's one thing that COVID really just messed us all up with is like, oh, what's next? We have no idea. All of a sudden we don't have practice. We don't have school. We don't have, what do we do? So one thing that's been great, you know, I love to sleep. I've alluded to that. So I kind of like the sleeping in thing. So our day as a family, usually now my son will get up early and he starts his homework early and he likes that because then the house is quiet for him. My husband usually does the same, but the girls and I usually meet around 8 o'clock around the breakfast table and then we will do a devotion together and then we'll do a half an hour of exercise. And that has actually been a really fun, good routine. So that's how we'll begin. And then of course, I'm so grateful. We bought a pool table in November. And who would have thought that that would come in so handy because we have been playing a lot of pool. So that's been so nice. And then we've been playing board games and cards and things like that. For my husband, this has been just a huge answer of prayer because he's got us on every home improvement project. It's like we have painted, we have sanded, we have soldered, we have nailed, we have pounded wood. We've done everything. So much to the point where when it's a rainy day, we're all like, oh, phew, like daddy's not going to ask us to do anything. So it's been funny, but it's been good. So we've basically looked around and said, A, what are some home improvement projects we could do? B, let's spend more time as a family together. And then each of us has kind of picked up something new, which has been fun. So each of them a new skill. And I talk about, I'm sure screen time has probably increased for all of our families during this coronavirus stay-at-home time. So I've talked to my kids about digital vegetables or digital candy. Like digital candy is, okay, we're going to watch this YouTube video. We're going to watch a movie. But digital vegetables, that's like, okay, I'm on a Zoom chat with my teacher. Or I'm doing Khan Academy and I'm doing learning, or I'm learning, you know, and it could be knitting, like it could be learning to do a skill and all that. So anyway, so all that to say, it's been really fun. My middle daughter is learning cardistry and it's basically you take a deck of cards and you do all sorts of like fancy moves with them. So it's really cool. So she's gotten it all into that and she wants to learn like 2 new flourishes every week. And then my son, Ethan, his 3D printer was broken, but now it's repaired. So he's been 3D printing different things. And then my daughter Lucy's been doing like these magic and illusion kind of videos. And so she's been editing videos and it's been a lot of fun. So I feel like we're all learning kind of some new skills and fun things that we wouldn't have time to have done before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something we've really liked.
Well, you'll just so appreciate this, but I've been assigning new chores to them that I yeah. think they'll actually enjoy, you know? Yeah. That is something that my daughter loves to bake. And yeah. actually, my son does too. If I assign it to him, he actually takes pleasure in what he produces. That's although so he good. Would never say, you yeah. know what, I can't wait to make dinner tonight, or I can't wait to help. Or another one of my children is actually really good at teaching their siblings.
Yes.
And this is a great time to experiment with some of that totally. Stuff.
That's so good.
It's just, this is a great time for experimenting. Arlene, I said that you were purposeful, but honestly, you're also quite joyful. And I know that that comes from hard work. Actually, happy is something that we're going to have to work for, isn't it?
And it is something you choose. And it is like a muscle. You get better at it. So let's say you feel like I'm only like 30% happy and I'm 70% Eeyore. That is okay. Like you'll get better at it. Soon you'll be only 60% Eeyore and that's okay. And let me also say that this isn't about personality. This doesn't mean like if you don't bounce into a room, you are a very ungodly woman. That is not at no. all what this is. This is like, are you content? Are you grateful? Do you smile at people? I mean, you can be have a very quiet demeanor and be a super happy person. So just see it in that way. But yeah, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And it is a choice.
Oh, that's so much hope. Arlene, it is time to go. And I hate that. But would you please close us up in prayer yes. for the moms who want to move the needle in this area?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, we are so grateful because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. You are the God of joy, and you can teach us how we can be more happy, content, grateful with our lives. Lord, your word says rejoice. And again, I say over and over and over again, we are to rejoice. Teach us, Lord, how to do this, even when we don't know what to do as moms, even when we're in situations that are difficult. Show us, Lord, how to be grateful and how to model joy to our kids. Give us that peace and that joy today so that we could give that to our kids. And we just want to give you thanks and praise for being with us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Arlene, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
As we wrap up, I want to circle around to a few things. One, we don't wait to feel good to praise God. Our spirits change when we praise. And two, moms need thick skins and soft hearts. As I think of the Moms in Prayer moms I know, they are warriors with tender hearts. Let's stay that way, strong and tender. A big thanks to today's show sponsor, Compassion International. We encourage you to jump on our website and learn more about their Moms and Babies program. Is there a mom in your world who needs some encouragement? There are lots in my world. Could she benefit from listening to today's episode? Would you take a minute and share this episode with her? And would you consider partnering with us financially in the year 2020? It's simple to do when you jump on the website or you text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. We need your help to keep moving forward in our mission to see every school in the world covered in prayer. We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God has been working over the time of COVID, would you email us at podcast@momsandprayer.com? Moms are making the difference. Happy moms. Moms who are trying to be happy. Moms just like you. See you next week.